committee for, and I don't even know what day it is today.
Monday, February 11th.
Well, come to order, and thank everybody for coming, all the transportation people. today, we were happy to get an update on the governor's transportation efforts for 09 and the committees that are going to be working on this. And so the chairs of all those committees have agreed to come in today and talk with us. And to start off, I think, do I want to have someone from the, or some ones from the governor's office come up? On. Okay. You get it. And welcome.
Hello. My name is Chip Terhune. I'm Chief of Staff to Governor Kulongoski. Very much appreciate, Madam Chair and members of the committee, the invitation today. Appreciate it. Just, I guess, to kickstart this thing, let me say that before we bring up the two other folks that have been really helping the governor lead this effort in its early stages right now, to be clear, the governor has actually identified transportation as a key top priority for the 2009 legislative session. From his vantage point, this issue has tremendous crossover in a variety of ways. Our aged transportation system is in desperate need of, frankly, updating and maintenance. I think that it's safe to say that he's got a couple goals for 2009, and believes that the legislature can really create some substantial momentum behind this in advance of even the session. The first goal is a legislatively enacted funding package that provides real investment in the transportation system. And then the second piece, and I think actually the second piece almost comes before the first piece in some respects, is a new look at thinking about transportation that focuses on a sustained incremental investment in an environmentally responsible system. And I think when Pat Wrighton gets up here, he'll talk a little bit about how the Vision Committee is approaching that specific piece. But I think it's really a thoughtful and considerate approach to transportation, in a novel one as well, taking a long-term view. Back in November of 2007, the governor pulled together three committees to take a look at this. And in way of background, the first one, which is chaired by Pat Wrighton, as I mentioned, the CEO of PacifiCorps, is called the Vision Committee. And the Vision Committee is really tasked with creating and developing a long-term vision of the transportation in Oregon. And in essence, Pat has been given the, I would describe it as substantial charge, of trying to chart a course in terms of what the transportation system of Oregon looks like in 25 or 30 years. And taking a step back, looking at that first, then looking at a series of benchmarks on how to build that system, and then lastly, I think the committee is going to be prepared to tackle what might be the first step toward that path, and then would bring that to the governor, and then the governor might bring that to the 2009 session for a further conversation. The Governance Committee, which is chaired by Steve Clark of Community Newspapers, is actually examining the dollars and the allocation of dollars, how they are distributed within the system, and also how projects are selected currently in the existing system. We really feel like the Vision Committee, in terms of charting the course long term, really does need to be paired with the Governance Committee in terms of how those distributions occur and how those projects are prioritized. So those two really dovetail nicely together. And then the last one is the Public Awareness Committee, and this is actually the committee that I've been asked to chair by the governor, that examines public opinion and helps inform both the Vision Committee and the Governance Committee down the line here in terms of where the public is and how the public sees this particular issue. There is an inordinate amount of research out there, and I think really the first task before us is sort of cutting through all of that research and figuring out what are the salient points of that and figuring out where the gaps are as well. So we can talk more about that later. At this time, if it's appropriate, I'm sure I'd like to invite Pat and Steve up to join me if that's all right with you.
That's great.
Afternoon.
Thank you. Thank you for coming.
So now that the team's fully assembled here, I want to also say a huge thank you to all of you for taking the time to have us come up here, but even more importantly, your due diligence and your efforts around this issue. Transportation as an issue generally is not something that rises to the height typically in the public venue of education or healthcare, those kinds of issues, but has huge implications in the governor's mind for economic development and clearly down the line for the future of our state in many, many regards that then lead into, frankly, things like education and healthcare. As with so many things that you deal with, all of these pieces are interrelated, and I think the governor views transportation as a major leg in the stool of state government right now and the state's needs. The other piece is that all of you should have received a document that's got a front and a back called Core Principles. I'd like to just briefly run through those if I could as it relates to this conversation and so you can have a better view of where the governor's coming from vis-a-vis all three committees. The first one, in terms of core principles, is economic development, and I'm not going to bother to read these, but clearly, when one out of every five jobs is related to transportation in Oregon, that says something in and of itself. When you add on to that the importance of transportation as a link, just purely a link for business in terms of goods to market, and including our own sort of our own consumer industries, this is an incredibly important piece of our economy. The other piece is that when you build things, jobs are created. And the governor is very keen on that particular issue as well, and frankly thinks that transportation is a win-win in that regard as well. The next core principle is local decision-making and identification of priorities, and this is, again, where Steve Clark is chairing this effort to wrap our arms around. And taking a good look at the area commissions on transportation, local governing bodies, and stakeholders, trying to identify priorities and how those decisions get made and what models work best where. Sustainability is the third core principle, and this one is also very, very important in the governor's mind. It's important to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. It's important to design a system that's 25 to 30 years out that really keeps that in mind, and it's important to make those steps early and often as we kind of travel down that path. So I think that that will also be featured prominently in the terms of the core principles. The fourth on the back page here, transparency and oversight. Obviously, any time public funds are being invested, the governor clearly believes that you have to have both of those ingredients. And then the last piece is statewide distribution. This is not one area of the state over another. This is a statewide process in that regard. So I just wanted to put that in front of you as well. So with your permission, I turn this over.
Yes.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you. Really appreciate being here. I'm Pat Wrighton. I'm the president of Pacific Power. Also here as the chair of the Transportation Vision Committee. And I'll tell you that is one of the things that we've found, at least I've found so far, is that there are endless analogies between the transmission and distribution system of an energy company like ours and the transportation issue. So I can assure you our meetings have been replete with those types of analogies and sometimes misstatements. What I'd like to do is talk a little bit about the committee, who it is comprised of, what the charge is, what we expect the deliverables to be, maybe a little bit about how an electric utility executive ended up doing this. First, the Vision Committee is made up of nearly 30 people who represent members of the four largest business associations in Oregon, AOI, OBA, PBA, OBC, that alphabet soup. Transportation leaders from TriMet to ODOT to Metro. Related lobby organizations from the truckers to the AAA to the building trades. Chambers of Commerce, community elected leaders, environmental community, and others. It's really a very wide range of folks. In fact, we very, very much appreciated also legislators participating and the chair included in that. So the committee is charted with doing a couple of important things. Chip mentioned the first thing we're doing is really looking out 25 or 30 years, trying to get a handle on the future, envisioning what a successful transportation system really ought to look like. And that's done, I will tell you, deliberately. We'd like to figure out what the target is before we figure out how to get there. The next charge, obviously, is to figure out how we get from here to there, whether we need pilot projects, whether we need additional regional studies, what other conversations ought to occur. Finally, and of high interest to this panel, I'm sure, I would think we're charged with participating in developing the type of package that we think should be looked at in the 09 session, working with the governor for his possible communication to the legislature. In order to get from here to the point we can actually suggest that for the governor's consideration, there's a lot of work that has to be done. We've been holding a number of work sessions. In fact, two have already occurred, one in January, one in February. We'll meet roughly monthly with the work, a fair amount of work doled out in between, with the goal of recommending really two prime products for the governor's consideration. A vision document detailing, again, the system I described out in the 2030 timeframe. Our goal is to provide that document to the governor in early May. A list of bridging steps, building a bridge from the system of today to the one out in the future, and really an 09 package complete with recommended funding mechanisms. I would expect that work would be collaborative with the efforts that Steve will describe to you here shortly. We would expect that package would go to the governor in November for his consideration and possible forwarding to the legislature. We would also expect that to become a product for consideration at the next Oregon Business Summit for endorsement of the broader business community. And again, those steps are taken in a, we think, a fairly logical order. If we can describe the kind of system that we want, recognize changes that will occur between now and then, particularly as it relates to funding mechanisms and the economic, environmental, and social needs of the state, put aside maybe some of the more difficult battles that have occurred over the last number of years in the transportation arena, and work together collaboratively to put that vision out there, and then work backwards in order to make sure that we are working together to get to that step by putting together the necessary action items in between here and there. So how have we done so far? I'm delighted that we've had really good participation from a wide array of organizations, knowledgeable individuals. The conversations indicate a surprising amount of consensus about what problems exist currently, what a well-functioning system ought to look like, Again, very much appreciate the participation of the legislators in that discussion, because ultimately these questions will be on your doorstep, and we really ought to make sure that we're working together collaboratively in between now and then, so that there are no surprises. Your input will be critical as we move through our work plan. Finally, why us? Why me? Our company is an interesting company. We basically build and maintain large capital infrastructure. We sell energy over it, but the bulk of our operational execution really relates to doing those things. So we certainly know about how to do that, how to maintain, provide decent O&M to large capital infrastructure. We do have a stake in the health of the transportation system, because so many of our customers are dependent on it, from Weyerhaeuser to Harry and David to the local corner store that requires deliveries to be made promptly. Interestingly enough, we serve 31 of Oregon's counties and have a built-in bias that any solutions ultimately have to work for the whole state, and think that's important. And I don't think any of us at the company will ever equal Glenn Jackson for his vision and participation in this particular area, but we're happy to pitch in. So with that, maybe I'll stop, turn it to Steve, but would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Steve Clark. I'm president of the Portland Tribune and community newspapers in the Portland metropolitan area. And as many of you know, active for the last decade or more in advocating for investments in our transportation system, but an improved transportation system that serves all of Oregon, its environment, its communities, and its economy. As Pat and Chip, we've been asked by the governor to chart a course with the legislature for the future of Oregon's transportation system. And as many of you know, we really are at a crossroads as it relates to transportation. Some of that because of what has not occurred over the last 15 years, but certainly what is occurring before us, and as Pat's visioning committee will explore, it is not as important as we look to what we haven't done in the past, but what we must be, what we must require ourselves to do in the future. The issues of the economy and the growth that Oregon will be benefited by or impacted by is a huge issue. The questions as to environmental sustainability, transparency, and accountability with citizens are all requirements today that confront us. The issue of governance is a particularly important one because the transportation system that we have in Oregon is not solely a state system. It is a county-based system. It is a regional system. It is a local system. And as the state of Oregon, we have a huge responsibility and interplay with the states of Washington, California, Idaho, and really the nation, due to the the fact that we have such great benefits, the Columbia River, two national rail systems that operate basically at ground level, at grade level. We are at a crossroads, and we're at a crossroads as it relates to other forms of infrastructure and how the transportation system relates to our land use system. We must provide for an integration of the system to many things, and that's what the governance committee will imagine over the next several months as Pat is exploring both the vision and how do we raise funds. The governor asked us to imagine how do we spend the money and how do we determine how the money should be spent. I would ask us to go much further and determine how do we integrate these many systems. Representative Beyer, Representative Gilman have participated in these initial conversations, and this is not an easy task. It is complex. In some respects, it's frustrating because the perception of one person, it may be their floor and your ceiling. And right now, we see that being played out in many communities throughout the state of Oregon. I live in the city of Tigard. The city of Tigard just adopted a gasoline tax to address one intersection on one highway, Pacific Highway. the city of Portland is imagining a street maintenance fee that would be in existence for the next 10 years and would raise approximately $450 million to address maintenance of the street system, the improvement of some pathways, bicycle paths. Multnomah County is imagining to double the vehicle registration fee in that county to address the Selwood Bridge. And meanwhile, as a state, as the states of Oregon and Washington and the federal government, we're imagining how can we improve the connection, the Columbia River crossing. Huge tasks, huge imagination of how does one affect the other. Is it an opportunity or is it a crisis? I like to think that it isn't a case of a glass half full. It isn't a case of a glass half empty. Let's get a smaller glass and begin to proceed forward by building responsible improvements in our entire transportation system that are governed well, that are accountable, that are sustainable both financially and environmentally, and that build the essence of public trust so that the public will begin to see the benefits and support that system over time. So how are we going to do this? Like Pat, the committee, the governance committee is made up of 20 to 30 representatives that are both state, county, regional, local, members of the lobby, a significant participation by the business community. It is a group that is energized and full of opinions, but committed to ask the tough questions. And as both the representatives would know, our last committee meeting was somewhat of a frustrating one as we tried to determine how do you do this? How do you really govern a system that is so multifaceted? And frankly, something I didn't mention includes the rail systems, privately held, both local and national. So what we are, while Pat is doing his work and his committee and Chip their work, our committee is going to address a series of problem statements as it relates to governance so that we can begin to fully evaluate concepts related to, as an example, underinvestment within the state system, the county systems, the city systems, or misinvestment. The public is prompt to tell us when we haven't spent money wisely. I can offer numerous examples where we have spent money wisely, and we need to provide those through Chip's efforts and his committee's efforts as testimony that government investment, public advocacy, and citizen involvement in things like transportation can work well, and use those as a foundation. The issue of environmental sustainability, is that an impediment or is that an opportunity? I have an 18-year-old and a 21-year-old. They don't have a clue why I care about transportation. They have no idea. My wife thinks I'm crazy. But I think that 18 and 21-year-old, one of who goes to school across the street, care about their environment and care about the opportunity for Oregon to be a sustainable place in the future. So we believe there's an opportunity to engage transportation and the environment in a way that will provide for an improvement of our environment, an improvement of our communities, and an improvement of the economy. Doing those things together will not allow for an impediment but an opportunity of both transportation and the environment. We're imagining other things, and I've addressed, for example, this conundrum as to how is it that the city of Portland can pursue street maintenance fees, or the city of Tigard, a gasoline tax, or Multnomah County, a doubling of the registration fee, and possibly not impact outcomes in Coos County or Klamath County. As far as the state's ability to reconcile, how do we fund and operate the system? So there's this dance, quite frankly, that we have to engage in and be open and be fair and be accountable as we evaluate who does govern, who does decide, and what impacts and cause and effect occur in one area of the state that might impact the areas of another. Our commitment to you as members of the legislature and really the decision makers of what advances, whether it's to a vote of this body or to the public, is to fully engage your committee, the Senate Transportation Committee, and to communicate with the entire legislature in ways that are improved over what we've done in the past. While the business community attempted to drive this issue in the 2007 session, we will want to fully integrate the legislature and the governor's office so as to fully realize both the essential crisis that lays ahead, but the opportunities that are even more opportune We appreciate your involvement, Madam Chair, Mr. Vice Chair. We look forward to working with each of you and moving ahead. Thank you.
Representative Tomei.
That's okay. If Chip has something more to say.
Thank you.
He's got a whole nother.
Thanks, Reverend.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I just want to thank all three of you for taking this on. It's a huge, huge issue, and it's a very difficult issue. Ever since I was on the City Council in Milwaukee, we've been trying to deal with transportation, and that's just in that small area. I hope when we look at transportation that we look at the whole gamut. One of you gentlemen, I think you brought up rail. Mm-hmm. We need to look at all issues in transportation, not just roads, and I think that is so easy for the public and other of us also just to look at highways and roads as being the most important transportation issue. I was also glad you brought up Glenn Jackson. He had been my neighbor when I lived in Medford, and my late husband worked at PP&L, so we were very much involved with
it's quite a mantle to bear.
Yes, indeed it is. Indeed it is. A very powerful, brilliant person and did a great job. So thanks again for being here.
Representative Gilman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. When we think of transportation, all too often we think of roads. Mm-hmm. And as Representative Tomei has already expressed, there's a lot more out there. There's power lines, there's pipelines, there's railroads, there's airplanes, and there's marine. But then we sometimes miss another one. I have Shady Cove in my district. It has an upper road group that has a bus that takes mm-hmm. seniors to Medford for shopping and for medical appointments. Mm-hmm. It's critical that we figure out how to fund that type of transportation all through my district, because we're not fortunate enough to have a TriMet mm-hmm. or a Eugene transportation system, public transportation. We have to cobble something together to get people to, that are out of their cars but still able to get around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say, you know, as it was really interesting when we think about the, I'm not sure I'm all that crazy about the word vision or visioning, but one of the exercises we gave our group was to, in between the January and February meeting, come back with what they thought the system really ought to look like. And so we had a series of one- or two-page papers from participants, and we spent our last meeting running through those and then really whiteboarding the challenges, the goals where we want to be, and then some of the issues we thought were hurdles to getting from here to there. Really, really fascinating. And one of the really commonalities was the desire of the group to deal with this in an intermodal way, and not only to deal with each individual constituency, but to create a system that allows users choice. You know, rail versus freight, light rail versus bus versus bicycle versus walking, that's to say that the discussions that have happened in the committee seem very consistent with what you're describing.
Thank you. Are you finished, Representative Gilman? You're finished?
Yeah.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Gentlemen, I want to ask a question that deals with the 800-pound gorilla in this room, and that is, how do we convince 90 members in this body that there's a sufficient return on the investment that's going to be asked of us? I personally have experience working with the Department of Transportation. It's been excellent, first rate. My public works departments at the county level are second to none. Those folks who work in those shops are excellent. Our local government does a fabulous job. You never hear me make a qualm about that. The issue, though, is folks are paying a lot of money right now for a gallon of gasoline, and each and every one of us are accountable to those folks. And the type of investments that I believe I hear you folks referring to are going to require an increase in the cost of travel. How do we deal with that issue?
Representative Smith, this might be a very good segue to the last work group. And if he doesn't answer your question, well,
there's your
lead-in.
Chair Beyer, Representative Smith, yeah, what a lead-in that was. it's a great question, actually. And the public awareness committee of this effort that the governor's put together is tasked in part to take a look at where public opinion is and analyze that and come up with what I would describe as the salient points in terms of how willing to invest they are and what that level of investment looks like and what that type of investment looks like, and then to, in essence, inform the vision committee and the governance committee about where the public is and hopefully have input into their decisions as a result as they pull together this process. There is an inordinate amount of research out there already on the issue of transportation in Oregon. I think it's fair to say, and I mentioned this at the beginning, that folks really, in the first issues that come to their mind are issues like healthcare and education, and that somewhere down the list is transportation. But I think that there is a growing sense of momentum, if you will, around this issue in a variety of ways. One is representative, I think, by the level of participation that's currently occurring in all three of our work groups. I will tell you the governor is incredibly pleased and incredibly grateful, not just for the legislative participation that we've got from Chair Beyer and Chair Metzger and Senator Starr and a host of others, but also the fact that there are an inordinate number of interest groups from really different sides of the table than have been there before, environmental concerns, AAA, truckers, business associations, I mean, the whole nine yards, that are coming to the table, not just attending one set of meetings, but attending two or three sets of meetings. I mean, this is an incredibly meeting-intensive process, for lack of a better description, and I want to say thank you to all those people sitting behind me as well as sitting in front of me for their indulgence on that. But having said all of that, I think that there is a genuine opportunity to make a case to Oregonians about the critical need of transportation and the role that it plays in all of our lives. And I think that there are avenues and there are messages that can be developed to help convey that. I think you raise an excellent point about Oregonians' willingness to pay vis-a-vis the economy and where things are and their confidence in the future. I think that's a balance that clearly we have to be cognizant of and have to work with. I think having said that, we know what happens if investment doesn't occur sooner rather than later. These projects that we're all talking about that everyone agrees needs to occur become even more exorbitantly expensive down the line. And it becomes much more expensive rather than less expensive over time. So I think that those are all pieces of the conversation that we have to have with the public, and we have to be very open about it and very transparent about it. And that's in part why I think on the public awareness side of the equation, rather than approach this by doing yet more focus groups and yet more polling right now, I think there's real interest in actually, in essence, pulling together all of the research that's out there in existence now, taking a look at what that looks like, finding out the gaps, what are the questions that we don't know, what are the things that we have not found out, what are the questions that we don't have answers to, and then also looking at the body of work and saying, what are the key salient points of this, and how do we message from those? How do we elevate this issue to a higher level? And I think that's an approach on research, frankly, that's just not been done yet. We have a tendency to sort of recreate the wheel in this environment and do more focus groups and more polling and sort of continually get the same answers. And sometimes it takes a little different approach to step back and say, are we asking the right questions? And that, frankly, for the governor is really what he finds most exciting about this opportunity, is the fact that the committees that are being led by Pat and Steve are taking a completely new and sort of comprehensive look at this issue that's not been done before, whether it's multimodal in its approach, whether it's environmental in its interest, or whether it's economic development as its focus. And I think that really does open up an opportunity for us to really examine some messages that just have not been tried before. There's another piece to this, too, and that is the unprecedented level of support on the part of folks outside this building in this package and in this conversation. I am continually impressed with the number of people that show up to my little committee, and then continually impressed by the number of folks that showed up to my committee that also showed up to both of theirs that happened earlier in the week. It is the participation is remarkable, and I think it really does show a sense of momentum on this issue that is frankly not very common.
As a follow-up, I appreciate those comments. I very well thought out. As I guess one member of 90 in this building, the one thought I would share with each of you is that a one-size-fits-all approach to project development, I think, is going to make it very difficult for you to get the 36 votes you need in the House. I think the governor's office did a fabulous job creating a model of flexibility in transportation funding in Connect Oregon, to where different parts of the region were allowed to address different needs that they may have. And I've had this communication with other folks in the audience here, to where the needs that are very critical in Portland aren't the same in Joseph, Oregon. And so I would just advocate as you progress forward that you try and create a package that allows flexibility in the process. So capital construction of new pieces of infrastructure in Multnomah County can be developed, yet at the same time preservation for counties and our local road departments can be maintained. And legislation can be drafted in a manner to make that work. That, in my view, as just one of 90 members, that's how you get that bipartisan support, and you get 36 votes in the House.
Madam Chair and Representative Smith, I agree fully. The ability of the state of Oregon or any jurisdiction within the state to fully progress in this matter is going to be required. It's going to require measurable results that the public can see and feel and to some degree taste and appreciate on the ground, or if it's transportation through the air or by water, and to see the connectivity between what's important in their community and their economy, or in the case of the environment, their environment. I can offer examples living in Washington County, how we progress to a system of property tax support of transportation by starting small in 1986 and saying, would you be willing to invest a large amount of money, $36 to $39 million, and do these 14 to 15 projects? And 3 years later, those had been completed, and the public said, we want more. We saw accountability. We saw the benefit. We saw the result. And it came back at about an $86 million investment and then $114. It's called Major Streets Transportation Improvement Program. And to Representative Gilman's point, it cannot just be streets. Today there's a variety of components that are being proposed for MSTIP4. The thing that I would ask each of us, and I come at this from the perspective of a journalist who runs a lot of businesses, newspapers, as a business person today, we have to observe the past to measure the future. And I worked in the 1997 legislature because no one else thought they could convince Governor Kitzhaber to both invest in senior transportation and healthcare transportation through buses that were being cut back. And I said, I'll help you do this if you help fund roads. Well, he wouldn't do that. We didn't get the funding for buses, for seniors, or for healthcare. 1997, 2009, we should let the history prove us wrong that we can do better this time. We can do that together, but we have to be measurable, we have to be outcome-based, we have to be transparent. We have to start small and work big, and over time we will accomplish great things.
Just one last comment, Madam Chair. I want to add to it. We need to recognize that there's, I'm going to use this term, cultural differences. I come from a very rural, remote area. And the notion of me being asked to step up and to fund a transportation package, in order for me to go home and show the return on investment, I need to be able to say we're fixing potholes. Not building bridges, fixing potholes. While at the same time, I fully recognize the importance of building bridges to the state's overall economy. And so my closing comment is I would hope you'd maintain flexibility in your plan, so when you bring it to us, each and every one of us has something we can wrap our arms around and say, this is why we support it. Thank you.
And Representative Tomei has a question, but I was going to respond really quickly in that in participating in these meetings, I think it's been very clear that this is not going to be a one-size-fits-all process. And we could probably use, and it's difficult because the meetings are not particularly centrally located, but we could use more rural voices in this conversation, and I'd like to encourage you to maybe become involved. And Representative Tillman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess following up on...
Never mind.
Never shut up. Madam Chair, following up on what you just said, I think, Steve, you might have been here when we heard from county commissioners in the rural areas. Mm-hmm. I think their titles are judges, but they're county commissioners. Mm-hmm. And they came to tell us about the terrible condition of their roads. Mm-hmm. And it's not that the roads go back to dirt. The concrete comes up or the blacktop comes up that's just totally impassable. And they need these roads, of course, to move their goods. But at that time, I mean, I was very sympathetic, and at that time Milwaukee was considering a gas tax and also a utility tax, which did pass. And I suggested, had you thought about doing that? And so the answer that we got was we would be recalled within a couple of weeks. So I guess that is very... I guess following up on what you were saying, I understand that they need help there, but also we need their support in a statewide transportation system. And I guess I'm wondering if we're going to be having that from our more rural areas. In order to get those 36 votes, we're going to need you folks to be advocating for this. So anyway, do you have a response to that?
Madam Chair, Representative Tomei, the Oregon Business Plan, which is Pat and I are heading up this effort of the Oregon Business Plan, and coincidentally the governor then called and through Chip and asked us to help on this. We are committed to engage, and I know members of the transportation lobby and other organizations are committed to engage with Chip, all of Oregon, Oregonians in this discussion, and all Oregon legislators, so that when we arrive, each of us, back at the 09 session, that we're both educated and motivated so that we can address the rural issues, the urban issues, and the interstate and the bus in ways that are strategic and measurable. But we have to be more completely informed and participatory than we have been in the past.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
I will say, just to add in a couple of thoughts, I think your charge to us is exactly right. And you know, I look as an example at our company service territory. And we have, as an example, one very, very large customer right now making a decision on the location of a distribution facility that will bring additional tax dollars and additional jobs to a local area in our service territory. And that decision is largely based on transportation. And not only, you know, I-5 transportation, but local transportation. So we're interested in seeing that happen in the community we serve as a measure of success for them. So, you know, being flexible with regard to the selection of projects makes perfect sense to me. What I was thinking about as you were talking was not only that, but the funding mechanisms. One of the fun parts of being part of the Vision Committee is that you can look out and see what the challenges will be over time and the need to find creative solutions, and one of them clearly will be funding mechanisms. One of the common threads amongst the vision documents of our participants is recognition of the eroding power of gas tax for numerous reasons, not only inflation, but higher miles per gallon of cars,
In our industry, we spend a lot of time thinking about the impacts on us of plug-in hybrids. So clearly, there are multiple factors that will, over time, mean erosion of that particular funding source. We need to look for more diverse ways of getting at that piece of it as well.
Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Gentlemen, thank you all for being willing to take on such an incredible challenge. I had a couple questions on process, if I could ask, Madam Chair. I think Steve mentioned the subcommittee is full of energized and opinionated people, and I belong to a group like that of about 31.
31?
It's my experience with that group that it's important to, that everybody does buy in to the core principles which have been developed. So my first question would be, how do you feel strongly that your subcommittees have bought into these core principles? Are you off on the right foot with this as your foundation?
Yes, sir. I'd start simply by saying yes.
Excellent. And then I guess my question then would follow to where we're going to get to, where Representative Smith was pointing us to. When the subcommittees work in your final product, are you looking for a total consensus from your subcommittees, or are you going to try to basically take the will of the group as a general whole? What exactly is going to be the decision-making process for the subcommittees?
We're going to meet after this hearing and discuss issues like that, how we proceed in parallel paths, these three committees that do intersect at a point. I think there are elements of building consensus within Oregonians that are even more important, although I fully agree with you that it's important to have a process of decision-making within each committee. Ultimately, what we recommend will come to you and the governor, and it will be important for that process of consideration to move forward within your bodies, within the caucuses and within each House and the Senate. Can we respond to you through the chair and vice chair in the future after our meeting today and our next couple of meetings so that we can fully answer that question? How are we going to decide? And we will provide through the committee administrator phone numbers that you folks, if you choose to and have time, to call in and participate from afar in our committee meetings. Where you're able to drive, that's great. We do provide for telecommunication and encourage that involvement of the legislature along the way.
Very good. Thank you very much. I would be interested in hearing back through the chair. Thank you.
Any other questions? Seeing none, if you have any last thoughts, we do appreciate very much your coming today.
Chair Byer, members of the committee, I want to also just make a couple last statements here on my part. The governor has also been very, very appreciative of another individual that's been participating in the Public Awareness Committee and has been very strong in his criticism, but also very, I think, supportive in terms of the committee overall, and really provided us with, I think, some very, very valuable input as we move forward, and that's Representative Hanna. I think he's been very, very thoughtful in terms of the approach that he's taken with us, and I think that that's been very, that will be very, very helpful for us as we move forward, and I think for the rest of the committees as well. In addition to that, I want to just share with you that in the governor's office, we deal with obviously many, many issues. And every once in a while, you run into an issue where there is a fairly remarkable feeling of momentum and a feeling of passion from a very, very broad and disparate array of groups. And I will tell you that transportation fits that mold very, very well right now. The governor is thrilled with the level of participation from all interests, but also from both parties on this issue. And I feel compelled to just let you know that based on the sort of initial launch of this conversation and some of the conversations that predated even the governor's approach to this issue, how impressed we are with the fact that everyone's sticking together and really does have a common goal of delivering a package to you that fits the criteria that many of you have outlined today for the 2009 legislative session. So, thank you.
Thank you. And you can finish it. I had one last comment that I was going to make earlier and kind of got sidetracked, but it was in response to Representative Gilman's comments about senior and disabled transportation. And of course, this is my issue, so you'll hear it all the time. But Cove Junction is not the only city out there that's struggling to take care of their people. Even those big cities that do have good transit systems, their populations are growing. Their funds are diminishing for this segment of funding for transportation. So I think this is definitely one of those systems that's not a one size fits all, and they're all struggling to keep up with the population that's growing. So this is one that, obviously we have a big interest in, and so I just wanted to follow up on that. And then I'll let you finish.
Oh, no, not at all. I was just going to say, given that I think for both Steve and I, the issue of transportation is important to us as Oregonians. You could argue that our activities here are a little bit far afield from our regular day jobs. And so, at least on my part, before getting involved, I asked a couple questions. And the first question I asked was, is this a top priority of the governor? Is this an issue that he'll put his shoulder to the wheel on? And the answer to that very firmly has been yes. The second question was, is this a process that we can get the legislature involved? Because none of us want to do a whole lot of work and foist something on the legislature that doesn't have legs, that doesn't meet the substantive and political requirements that you all face in your roles. And I think the answer to that has been yes, the legislature is interested, and we've seen participation. And once the session is over, we expect that to grow. I was very interested in the comments. I think Representative Buckley, you asked a very important and right question, which is how do we keep people together? Is this a consensus-based process? And so for our committee, we set only a couple of requirements out for participation. They were and are. If you're interested in showing up but don't recognize there's a problem that needs to be solved creatively, this isn't the right place for you. If you're showing up only to fight the past battles, this isn't necessarily the right place to do that. And I will tell you, I've been very, very, as a relative neophyte in transportation matters, much more comfortable in transmission matters. I would tell you that I've been really impressed. Many of the people in our committee are here in the audience. I've been very, very impressed with the common recognition of problems, the common desire to get to a place that works better, the collaborative spirit. So I hope that continues. We were absolutely committed to spending a lot of time with sleeves rolled up in front of a whiteboard to nail down some of the more difficult problems, a number of which we clearly have identified in our efforts so far. But I think that spirit will prevail.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Okay. I tried to open the informational hearing on that. Patrick has laid some paperwork out on the table. I'll let him mention what he's doing.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In your packets below the informational materials for the informational meeting, you'll find amendments for House Bill 3624, which is the House version of the driver license bill. The amendments that are here are the same amendments that were drafted and adopted into the Senate version, Senate Bill 1080. That measure passed the Senate floor this morning. and it's coming over to the House. It presumably will go to Ways and Means, but our committee still has in its possession House Bill 3624, which is an identical version of the bill. Now, tomorrow we have that scheduled for work session. That work session is scheduled for the purpose of moving the bill to the Committee on Elections, Ethics, and Rules so that that measure can stay alive in the event that it becomes necessary to go forward with it.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Quick housekeeping issue. Have we had a public hearing on this?
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, no, we have not. That's why tomorrow's work session will be only for purposes of moving it to the Committee on Elections, Ethics, and Rules.
Representative Smith, we haven't had public hearings on this in February, but in January we had two public hearings on this bill and these amendments.
Just follow up. Do you anticipate then in the Rules Committee that there will be extensive public hearings?
If they choose to move this bill, I anticipate there will definitely be huge public hearings.
I just want to be sure for the record that we make sure that the citizenry of Oregon have an opportunity to have their voices heard on this House bill. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any other questions? All right. We are adjourned.
Thank you.